The shiur tonight is on Rosh Chodesh, and the title of this shiur is A Day Off for Women. So tonight, we're going to address a different topic than the normal Parsha topic. This week, this Shabbos, is Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. It's Friday and Shabbos. And there's a famous minhag that women do not work or they get a day off on Rosh Chodesh. I want to understand philosophically the idea, the concept behind why women have off on Rosh Chodesh. What's that connection? What's the connection between getting off for Rosh Chodesh and what women have done in the past? So that's really the main focus of the share tonight. And just as a warning, we're going to focus on Rashi and Tosfos, their idea, their reasoning. And I'm not going to go so much into the practical halacha, maybe a little bit, but there are a lot of achronim on, you know, the practical expression of this idea, and maybe I'll mention it, but we're not going to go inside. More, the focus of the shiur will focus more on the philosophy of what the reason is why women have a day off and the idea of not working on Rosh Chodesh. So let's start from the beginning, source number one. We're going to try to understand a little bit of background in terms of whether you can do malacha work on Rosh Chodesh or not. So the first source is a Gemara in Erechin Daf Yud Amud Beis. And it's source number one. Rosh Chodesh to Ikre Moed Lema. The Gemara is dealing with Hallel. And the Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh, it's called a Moed. It's called a day, I guess a Chag. It's like a Chag. It's called a Moed. So say Hallel. Why don't we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? Meaning Hallel, full Hallel, not just half Hallel, which is a Minog. The Gemara answer is Lo Ikdish Ba'asiyas Malacha. The reason why we don't say full Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is because Rosh Chodesh is not a day that is designated for Isser Malacha, for the prohibition of work. Dichsiv, as it says in Yeshayahu, Hashir Yelachem Kaleil Hiskadesh Chag, it says that the shir should be for you like the night which is designated for Chag. Laila Hamakudash Lachag Ta'un Shira, the night that is designated for Chag requires Shira. V'she'ein Mekudash Lachag Ein Ta'un Shira. And a day or a night that's not designated for Chag, it does not demand Shira. So what is this talking about? It's talking about Pesach night. And Mekudesh L'Chag, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Rosh Chodesh, in number two, Rosh Chodesh Ikre Moed, Dichsiv Kara Alai Moed. It says in Eicha that an assembly has been summoned upon me, and Uvaperk Dalid D'Maseches Tainis, and Daf Chavtes, Tamuz Dahu Shasa Miluye Miluya, that Tammuz, I think it's referring to the time of the Meraglim, at that time was a full month. Dichsiv kara alai moed, and the pasuk that's used to determine or to say and express that Tammuz was a full month is kara alai moed, which is an eicha, and moed is used in that context to reference Rosh Chodesh. So what do we see? We see that Rosh Chodesh is called a moed. It's called a day of, I guess, importance, like a chag. But on the other hand, it doesn't have Isser Malacha. Look at Hashir. Look in the next Rashi. It says Hashir Hallel. It's a reference to Hallel. Mekudash Ba'asiyas Malacha. That the day and the night that's Mekudash, that's designated in terms of not being able to do work, that's the day that requires Hallel. But Rosh Chodesh, which is not a day that's Mekudash Ba'asiyas Malacha, it's not designated through Isser Malacha, that day we don't say Hallel on. Okay, so it would appear from this Gemara, from Erechin, that it's perfectly mutter to do work on Rosh Chodesh. So if I want to go to work and do my job on Rosh Chodesh, there's no problem with that. So that's what we get from the first source. But if we look in Megillah, we get the opposite. We get something that's contradictory. In Megillah, in source number three, it's Maseches Megillah Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara is talking about how many aliyahs we read on Rosh Chodesh and during the week. And the Gemara says, Tashma, Zehaklal, this is the rule. Kol shi yeshbo bito malacha la'am, kegon etainis tzibor v'tishabov, korin shlosha. V'she'ein bo bito malacha la'am, kegon rashe chadashim, v'cholo shel moed, korin arba shmamina. The Gemara says that there's a general principle, that whenever work is going to be nullified through Kriyas HaTorah, as on Tainis Tzibor and Tishabov, you read three. And whenever there is not going to be a nullification of work, as on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, you read four. So what is that talking about? What does it mean, a nullification of work? So the Chachamim and Chazal, they were very cognizant of how people had to go to work after Shul, and they didn't want a person to lose out on money and to not be able to go to work and have a resentment towards you know, Kriyas HaTorah. So on days that people could work, they made the aliyahs shorter. It was only three aliyahs. But on days where people did not work, and therefore staying in shul late would not affect their ability to work, there was four. And the Gemara is saying that on Rosh Chodesh, the reason why there's four aliyahs is because Ein Bo Bitul Melacha, which sounds like, from the Gemara, that there's no idea of working on Rosh Chodesh, which is a contradiction to the Gemara before on Erechin, which says that you are allowed to work on Rosh Chodesh. And look in Rashi, number four, he just explains it. He says, Zeh klal kol sheyesh bo bitul melacha la'am, b'ma shehein ma'acharin b'veis ha'kneses. By staying late in shul, because it's a longer laning, it's going to affect their ability to work, because now they're going to have to go to work late. So whenever that happens, you only have three. Kigon tanis tibor, shemutter b'malacha, rov tanis tibor mutarn b'malacha, most tanis tibor, most fast days, you're allowed to do work, chutz mishel gishamim emtsayim achronim, except for the rain, by the fast days for the rain, the middle ones and the last ones. V'tisha b'av nami mutter b'malacha, it's also, you're allowed to do work on Tisha b'av, ela b'makom shenagu, except in a place where there's a minag not to do work. Okay, so what we got here, let me just summarize so that it's clear. We have one Gemara that says that on Rosh Chodesh you're allowed to work, and there's another Gemara in Megillah which says that on Rosh Chodesh there is a lack of work, and therefore on Rosh Chodesh you can have four aliyahs. And the question is, what does it mean? It's how do we explain this contradiction between the two Gemaras? Rashi over here, he gives the answer, and this is really the starting point for the main idea in the Shir, and it starts with Roshei Chodashim. It says, Ein bo bitul melacha kol kach. There's not so much nullification of work on Rosh Chodesh if you stay late in shul. She'ein hanashim osos melacha bahen. Because women, they don't do melacha on Rosh Chodesh. V'hachi nami amrinan b'maseches Rosh Hashanah. It also says something similar in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, gabe masuos. When they used to light fires in order to indicate that it was Rosh Chodesh, they wouldn't do it on a 2-day yante, on a 2-day Rosh Chodesh, mishum bitul melacha la'am shnei yomim, because it would create a scenario where the people would not be able to work for 2 days in a row, which implies that people didn't work on Rosh Chodesh. And who didn't work on Rosh Chodesh? The women. So we see from here and from Megillah and also from Rosh Hashanah that women did not work on Rosh Chodesh. And the question is why? Why didn't women work on Rosh Chodesh? Before we read the Rashi, I took out the parentheses in Rashi. I just deleted them from the source sheet, so don't. The reason why is I think it's a question on the Girsa. So I'm just going to read the parts of Rashi that are not in parentheses. V'shamati mipi Mori Hazakin Zechrono Levracha. Rashi heard from his Rebbe. Shenitna lahem mitzvah zu b'shvil shelo pirka nizmein be'egel. Why was this mitzvah of not working on Rosh Chodesh given to women? Because they did not give up their jewelry by the egel, by the golden calf. U'mikra misayo, and there's a pasuk that is a raya. It's a proof that on Rosh Chodesh you don't do work. Dichsiv, as it says with the story of David and Yonasan, asher nistarta sham biyom hamasa. Yonah says to David that you should hide away in the place that you hid on the day of action. The Targum Yonasan biyoma decholah. Yonasan says that it means that on the day of Chol, the Hasam Nami Gabi Rosh Chodesh Kai. It's also a reference to Rosh Chodesh. The Ka'amar Le Machar Chodesh. It says in the same pasuk or in the same area, Machar Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. The Kari Le Erev Rosh Chodesh Yom Hamasa. It calls Erev Rosh Chodesh a day of action. Alma Rosh Chodesh Lav Yom Hamasahu. Therefore, we learn from this pasuk in Shmuel that Rosh Chodesh is not a day of action. Okay, and then the Gemara and then Rashi explains Chol HaMoed. So let me just summarize Rashi, and then we'll try to explain it. Rashi says that, what does it mean that we don't do work on Rosh Chodesh? It doesn't mean everybody, but it's a reference to the mitzvah and the minug that women do not do work on Rosh Chodesh. And what's the reason for women not doing work on Rosh Chodesh? Because they were given this mitzvah as a reward for not giving up their jewelry by the egel, by the golden calf. So does this make sense to anybody? Does anybody have any questions on this Rashi? I think there's a fundamental question in trying to understand. There are many questions in trying to understand the Rashi, but in order to explore this area, we have to ask the essential questions. Anybody have any questions on the phone line?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Nowadays we have an established calendar, but back then they didn't know exactly when it would fall out. So how did they know the day before to do Malacha?
What do you mean? Sorry, ask again. Say it again.
if they didn't know, if they were waiting for the witnesses to come in, they weren't clear on which day the Rosh Chodesh would be proclaimed.
Yeah, but then when they
know on which day before to do Melacha.
Well, when they had when they were Mekadesh the Rosh Chodesh in Beis Din, they would send out messengers, and they used to use this fire tactic, so everybody would know when Rosh Chodesh was. So I guess the women would know through the same method that the men would know when it was Rosh Chodesh, and once it was Rosh Chodesh, they would stop working. They just wouldn't work. But I think there's,
okay.
I think there's a basic fundamental philosophical question, which is, what's the relationship between the two? Well, there's two questions, but the main question that bothers me the most, and I think it bothers many, is what's this connection? What's the relationship between women not giving up their jewelry with regard to the Egel and Rosh Chodesh and not working on Rosh Chodesh? They seem to be two completely separate ideas that have nothing to do with each other. So that's one question, I think, the main question. But furthermore, we have to understand what this idea of, or what the greatness of women was back then in the time of the Egel. What was the greatness in them not giving up their jewelry? What is that idea? But the main question is the first question that I asked, which is, what is the relationship of women not doing work on Rosh Chodesh and this mitzvah, this reward, for them not giving up their jewelry by the Egel? Usually when Klal Yisrael, or when any individual is rewarded, it usually has something to do with the good thing that they're expressing in their actions, and the reward is commensurate with that. So over here, it doesn't seem like there's any connection. There's no relationship between the two. So that's what's troublesome to me, and that's what we're going to try to understand and try to give an answer for. Okay, look at number five. Just look in the pasuk. I just want to show you the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Parichaf completely. It says, "Vishilashta tered meod uvasa el hamakom asher nistarta sham biyom hamaaseh viyashavta etzel ha'even ha'azel." This is Yonah's son saying to David that for 3 days you'll hide and you'll go to the place in which you hid on the day of action. And the day of action, according to Rashi, is a reference to Erev Rosh Chodesh, which implies that on Rosh Chodesh there's no action, there's no maaseh, there's no work. And you will sit there, v'yashavta etzel ha'even ha'azel, next to the traveler stone. So I just wanted to read inside in the pasuk and show you that the pasuk is referencing Erev Rosh Chodesh is Yom HaMaaseh, and that's the limud that Rashi is learning. Look at Tosos in number 6. It's on the same daf. He says the same thing as Rashi, but he's even stronger. He says, "V'she'in b'hen b'tol malacha kigon Rosh Chodesh koren arba'a v'kashya." And there's a question. "D'ha b'perek ein dorshin v'chagiga in Gemara Chagiga amrina on Rosh Chodesh yochiach sheyesh bo korban musaf u'mutar b'asiyas malacha." There also in Chagiga it says that Rosh Chodesh there's a korban musaf and you're allowed to do malacha. So it's a question, it's the same question that we had, which is that it's a contradiction. Our Gemara in Megillah is saying that there's Isser Malacha, but there's another Gemara in Chagiga, and also we saw the one in Erechin, which says that it's really mutter to do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So how do we resolve that? It's a number 6. V'yesh lomar, devadai mutter hu ba'asiyas Malacha la'anashem, aval nashem asuros b'malacha, lefish lo pirku nizmeyan b'maaseh ego. So he says that that's the answer. The answer is that it's really mutter for a man to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, but for a woman, he says it's aser, asuros b'malacha, which is much stronger than the lashon of Rashi. Rashi says that it's a mitzvah and it's a good thing, but it seems like from Tosfos that it's really aser for a woman to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So we have to understand what the nature, what the concept behind, you know, behind Malacha and Isser Malacha and the women, what does it have to do with one another? The same question at the beginning of this year. So if anybody has any possibilities, please feel free to share at any point in the year and just stop me and cut me off in the middle of my sentence and just share an idea. But I'm going to try a possibility based on the Psukim. So we look at number 7 in Shmos Paraklamid Beis. Well, let's look back at the ego. And it says, "Vayomer alehem Aaron, parku nizmei azahav, asher b'oznei nesheichem, b'neichem, uvnoseichem, v'haviu elai." Aaron, he gets nervous because the people are upset that Moshe hasn't come down yet. And he says to take out the jewelry, the gold, the golden jewelry, which is in the ears of their wives and their children, and bring it to me. That's what Aaron is saying to the nation, to Klal Yisrael. And in Gimel it says, Vayisparku kol ha'om es nizmeh zahav asher ba'oznehem vayaviyu el aharon. And what ends up happening is that the whole entire nation, which sounds like women are included, but it's not the case, we'll see from Rashi, that they take out their jewelry in their ears and they bring them to Aaron. Vayikach mi adam vayatzar oso bacheret vayaseu egel masecha vayomru ela elokecha Yisrael asher alucha me'eretz Mitzrayim. And Aaron, he takes all the gold, he puts it in some type of scarf, and he creates the eagle. The eagle's created, and they proclaim the people, Vayomru, this is the God of Israel who took us out of Mitzrayim. So Aaron, just to summarize the psukim, and it's Parak Lamed Beis Pasuk Beis Gimel and Dalet, Aaron tells the people to take the jewelry out of their wives' ears, and they take. It says that the whole nation they took out their jewelry, and they brought it to Aaron, and Aaron used the gold to make the eagle azov. But it's not clear over here. It doesn't say openly in the psukim that the women did not give up their jewelry. So let's look at number 8 in Rashi. Rashi says, "Be'oznei neshechem." Amar Aaron, what was his plan? Amar Aaron belibo. Aaron said in his heart, "Hanashim b'hayiladim chasim al tachshitan," that the women and the children they're going to be chas on their jewelry. They're not going to want to give up their jewelry because it's theirs. It's something that they prize. Shema yis akev adavar, and what will happen is that it'll delay the whole matter. Uvisoch kach yavo Moshe, and Moshe will come by the time they're already get the jewelry. Vehem lohim tinu uparkum al atman. But the men, they did not wait for this, and they did not take it off their wives. Rather, they took their own jewelry. I guess the men wore jewelry, and they took their own jewelry and they brought it to Aaron. So Aaron's plan was that, oh, I'll tell them to take it off their wives and their children, and the wives and children will object. And that was true. The wives and children did object, but the men just, they bypassed that, and they took off their own jewelry, and they brought it to Aaron. So it's interesting. We're going to see later on, and I'm going to bring a proof for this, but it seems like the reason Aaron is using for why the women would not give up their jewelry is because it's their money, it's their jewelry, and they don't want to give up. They don't want to give it up. It's like getting a present for Chanukah or for Yontif. You get a present for Chanukah and Yontif, and somebody's coming to take it from you. You don't want to give it up because you love that thing. So a woman who loves her jewelry, she's not going to want to give up her jewelry. And that seems to be the reason, which is what Aaron is using in terms of planning out what to do. But you see that they don't listen, and the men end up not taking it from the women, but they take it from themselves because the women would not let them. They would not give up their jewelry. And it goes on, it says, Parku lashon tzivoy, it's a command. Aaron was commanding them, Migzeros parak liyachid, kimo barchu migzeros barech, vayisparku lashon prikas masa. And what ends up happening is that they unburden themselves of their jewelry. It's like unburdening yourself of a load of something heavy. When they took it from their ears, they were unburdened by their jewelry, which is a strange type of lashon in Rashi. What does it mean that they were unburdened by their jewelry? It should just say that they took off their jewelry. So we'll also explain that, I think, in the answer that we give in terms of the main idea here. And then it says, Es nizmeh kmo minizmeh kmo ketseisiyas ha'ir min ha'ir. Okay, so does this help us? It doesn't help us that much. But we use the psukim in Shmos Perek Lamed Beis to just illustrate the plan of Aaron. Aaron's plan was to tell the men to go to their wives, go to your children, take their stuff. And the reason why he did that or utilized that plan is because he believed that the women and the children would object because they wanted their objects and they love their objects. And what ends up happening is that the men, they can't wait. And they take off their own jewelry. They don't even ask their wives. And they give it to Aaron, and Aaron makes the ego over here. So we have to understand, it's the same question, the main question of the shir, which is, you know, why didn't the women give up their jewelry? What is that concept? And what does that have to do with Rosh Chodesh? It seems like it has nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh at all. It seems completely...
Yeah. The women didn't do it just because they were attached to their jewelry, not because they were trying to prevent any bad thing from happening.
Exactly. So that's even a better question, which is either. Good question. So we're going to try to answer that. But that was one of the questions that I was trying to lead into. But it seems like from Rashi that's the reason why they didn't want to give up their jewelry, because they love their jewelry. And that was Aaron's plan. So what's so great about that? That they love their jewelry so much and they didn't want to give up their jewelry? Why they're rewarded in such a great manner for not giving up their jewelry? Okay, good question. Excellent. So now let's go on to number 9. And this is an idea that I saw in the Psukim. I don't know if it's completely true, But it definitely fits in with the idea, and I'm going to try to put everything together based on the Chinuch and some of the other Rishonim, and also answer that question that you asked. So if we look at number 9, in Shmos Perek Lamed Beis, I guess Pasuk Hay, so it's only a couple Pasukim later. That's in the next Pasuk. Okay, it says, Vayar Aaron Vayiven Mizbeach Lefanov Vayikra Aaron Vayomer Chag Ladoshem Machar. That Aaron, he builds a Mizbeach before him, and he says, Vayikra Aaron, and Aaron, he declares and says, Chag Ladoshem Machar. Tomorrow, there will be, you know, a Chag, there will be a holiday for Hashem. And in Vav it says, Vayashkimu mimacharas, Vayalu olos, Vayagishu shlomim, Vayeshev ha'am lechol v'shaso, Vayakumu letzachek. So what happens is that they wake up the next day, the people, the men, and they brought korbanos, and they sat there to eat and drink, and letzachek, to, I guess, party and have a good time, and enjoy themselves. And it seems interesting that Aaron says, what I focused on in the idea that jumped out at me is the concept that Aaron is saying Chag LaHashem Machar, and the men, they're creating a Chag for themselves. They're creating a holiday. It's not just that they went to go worship the ego, but they created an environment, a Chag, in which they can enjoy themselves. And if you look in Rashi number 10, he says, Litzachik. Yesh b'mashma hazeh gilui arayos, kemoshe namar litzachik bi. There's some type of mashmos understanding within the word letachek, which implies ludity, ushvichus damim, and also murder. Also, they were involved in murder, and we see that in the Midrashim it says that Chur was killed by the ego. So the chag that they created for themselves was a chag of enjoyment, and it led into the instincts, and it allowed them to express their most basic instinctual drives, which were I guess ludity, and the other one is murder. They were involved in shvichas damim. So we see. So why did this jump out at me? Because we see that there's one of the concepts of the ego, one of the flaws of the ego. Obviously, it's not the main flaw. Is that they used the concept of chag, they utilized it, and they created a chag for themselves, but they utilized it in the completely opposite approach as to what a chag is supposed to be for Klal Yisrael in general. And what is the idea of a chag in general for Klal Yisrael? Just anybody, why do we have Isser Malacha by a chag in general? There's actually a chinuch on this. I didn't bring the chinuch down. But the concept, the basic concept of Isser Malacha is that a person should have an environment where there's the least amount of distraction. If a person's working, it takes up their energy, it takes up their mental, their psychological, emotional energy. And the purpose of a chag, in general, of a moed, is that it's a time in which people can focus their energies into the proper direction. And instead of that, the men were involved in the opposite. They were involved in vayakumu letzachek. They're involved in debauchery, involved in murder. So they were utilizing the flaw, one of the flaws of the ego, is that the men utilized the concept of chag in the wrong way. They utilized it in the opposite way. They created an environment where they didn't have to go to work, or they weren't working, and they were not involved in malacha in order to outlet their basic instinctual drives and instinctual needs. And that's what happened by the ego. And if so, what does that have to do with Rosh Chodesh? And then how do we see that? Well, and I'll show you how do we see that the women were. What was their perfection or the idea behind it? So we look at number 11 in Shmos in Perek Yud Beis. It takes up the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, and it says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe vel Aharon be'eret Mitzrayim lemor." That this is the first mitzvah according to the first Rashi in the Torah. Hachodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim for Klal Yisrael. Rosh Chodeshim Rishon hu lachem l'chodshei Hashanah. I was talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron that this is going to be the first month for you. And L'chodshei Hashanah, it's going to establish all the months of the year. It's the first month of all the months of the year. And this is the mitzvah of being Mekadesh, the Chodesh, and establishing Rosh Chodesh and the month. And if you look in the Chinuch gives the basic philosophy behind it. He says in number 12, Misharshei mitzvah zu, kidei sheyasu Yisrael mo'adei Hashem bezmanan. What is the root of this mitzvah? In order that Klal Yisrael be involved in setting up the mo'adim in their proper time. Shehashem yisbarach tzivo la'asos pesach bizman shatfuah ba'aviv. The tzivoi, the commandment in the Torah, is to make Pesach in the springtime. Kimosha kasuv shamor eschodesh aviv v'asitza pesach V'chag ha-sukos b'zmano asif. And also, sukos has to come out in the time of the gathering. K'mo shekasev, as it says, v'chag ha-asif, t'kufas ha-shana. V'ulule ibur ha-shanim, yavo ha-mo'adem shalo b'zmanim elu. If not for Beis Din being able to add in an extra leap year and being able to establish the months, then the mo'adim, they come out at the wrong times. L'fishi Yisrael m'chashrim chadshem u'mo'adim li'yimei shenas ha-levana. Because Klal Yisrael, they're responsible for establishing the months and the Moadim and the Chagim as to when they come out within the months. We see from the Chinuch, therefore, we see from the Chinuch that the Iker, the key concept in the idea of Rosh Chodesh and setting up the month by Beis Din is an idea that Klal Yisrael, they're partners and they're responsible somewhat for establishing when the Moadim are coming out. So it's not just a fixed idea like Shabbos. Moadim are different than Shabbos. Shabbos, we say, is every 7 days, no matter what. But Moadim, they are determined by Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but man, meaning Klal Yisrael in general, we're partners in that. And we almost create the Chag. We create the environment of the Chag, and we create when the Chag is going to come out. So we're partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Rosh Chodesh and the whole idea of being HaKadosh Chodesh in terms of creating Chag and creating when the Chag will come out. So to me, there's a key connection between the two, the flaw by the Egel, which is not the essential flaw, but one of the flaws of the Egel, and also Rosh Chodesh. And that connection is that by the Egel, the people, they were initiating their own Chag, they were creating their own Chag, and they utilized Chag in the opposite of what the intention of Chag is supposed to be, or the intention of a holiday. The holiday in the Torah and in the philosophy of Judaism is meant to give a person an outlet to focus his mental energies and his soul on a pursuit of knowledge and appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they used it for the opposite by the Egel, but the whole concept of the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh is tied to the idea of us, of Klal Yisrael, being partners in creating the Chag. And because, it seems like because the women, they must have recognized this idea, they must have recognized this concept of Chag. Because of that, they were given Rosh Chodesh as a Chag, as a time not to do Malacha, whereas the men, we'll see in the Torah, he brings down a reason, the men lost this opportunity. They were really supposed to utilize Rosh Chodesh as a Chag, as an idea in them initiating and being part of creating Chag, but because they utilized it by the ego in the wrong way, and it demonstrated an inability on the part of Klal Yisrael to focus their energies properly, they lost out on that reward. So how do we know? This is one of the questions before. How do we know that the women were doing it for this reason? Why, it seems like, according to Rashi before, which is the question, that the women, they just didn't want to give up their jewelry. That was Aaron's plan. The women won't give up their jewelry because they love their jewelry. You know, a woman doesn't want to give up her jewelry. So how do we know that that's not the case? So there's a Das Akenim. I didn't bring it down. But there's a Das Akenim, and he gives a different reason for this connection, but he brings down an interesting point that I think fits in. It's the Das Akenim in Shmos in Vayakel, Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chaf Beis, and it says, Vayavo ha-anashim al-anashim, klomar lishlomehen tachshitein, kidichsiv chach vanezem. They wanted to utilize and take the women's jewelry to devote it to the Mikdash. Va'afal pichin, when the Mikdash was being, and the Mishkan was being built, they wanted to take, there was this idea of donating jewelry and donating gold and silver, and the men wanted to take it from the women. The afal pichin hanashim smechos uzihiros b'malecha shemayim. But the pasuk says that the women actually were very happy with this malecha shemayim. Kedichsev ko hanashim asher nasa liban osana. Lefichach zachu hanashim shelo lasos malecha b'rosh chodesh. This is why the women were zocha to not do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because the women were very happy when the Mikdash was being built, which was on Rosh Chodesh. Why? Lefish b'masa egel lachu takshitan ba'al korchan. By the egel, their jewelry was taken on forcefully. Kedemashma b'dechsev v'yisparku. And the way the Das Akenim learns v'yisparku is that the men took it off the women. Uv'masa mishkan smechu samchu b'nesinas b'nesina. They were very happy to give up their jewelry. Lefichach nasan lahem Rosh Chodesh yomtov. Therefore, Hashem gave them Rosh Chodesh as yontif. V'nir li d'zeu Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shebo hu kama mishkan. V'agav osu Rosh Chodesh mishamos kol Rosh Chodesh Hashana. So he gives a different reason. He says that it's because of the fact that the jewelry that they didn't want to give up by the Egel, they were willing to give it up by the Mishkan. And because the Mishkan was built on Rosh Chodesh, therefore they were given this idea of not working on Rosh Chodesh is a reward. So he gives a different philosophical idea, but the key point that I wanted to bring out from the Das Kanim is to answer the question from before. How do we know that the women did not withhold their jewelry because they loved their jewelry? So you see that from the fact that they were very willing to give up their jewelry in the Psukim by the Mikdash. And the fact that they were willing to give it up by the Mikdash, it shows you that they didn't have an unnatural connection and an extremely close connection to their jewelry, because if that were the case, then they wouldn't give it up by the Mishkan as well. But the fact that they were able to give it up for the Mishkan shows you that by them not wanting to give up their jewelry to the men in the Egel, it demonstrates that there was a philosophical idea there as well. That the women were not just, they weren't just grasping onto their jewelry because they loved their jewelry, but they were holding onto it because they recognized that something was wrong here, that the men were utilizing some type of, something improper was going on, and that the men were just looking for an excuse in order to be involved in the instincts. So that's what I think the philosophy behind the women not working on Rosh Chodesh. It's an idea that the women recognized that this chag was an inappropriate chag, that it was going to be utilized for the negative, for wrong, and the fact that they withheld their jewelry demonstrates that idea, and that's why they're rewarded. They're rewarded in this manner because they didn't distort the idea of chag, and in fact they recognized what the true idea of chag really is, which is to focus your energies in the proper direction, in the proper way. Okay, does that make sense? Should I explain it again? Or any questions on that idea?
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Okay.
We know when they were having this hog and being involved in all these instinctual things, do we have any idea that the women weren't involved in that area?
Good question. Excellent. This is another question that when I was learning this area with my chavrusa, we had the same question. It seems like, you're right, it seems like from Rashi, it says Gilei Arayos. So what do you do with that, right? And I don't know how to answer that.
It's, women are part of that, right?
I don't know. It could have been all men. I don't know. I can't say for sure. But it could have been all men because that's also an Isser of Gilei Arayos. But I'm not sure. It's a good question. I can't answer that. It's a tough question to answer. But you definitely see from Rashi and the Gemara that they weren't involved and they didn't give up their jewelry. And it sounds like they really weren't. If they were involved, I would find it hard to believe that it was such a great thing that they didn't give up their jewelry if they were really involved in the debauchery of the ego. So it's I don't know how to read that Rashi and how that fits in, but definitely the theme of Rashi is saying that they were utilizing this as an opening, as a Pesach, in order to get involved in the instincts. And I don't know, I don't know where the women were in that situation. So it's a good question. I can't answer it. But anyways, but to summarize the main point, which is that it seems like the connection between the Cheda Egel and Rosh Chodesh is the idea of Klal Yisrael being involved in creating Chag. And by the Egel, they misused that power. They created a Chag for the opposite. In fact, there's a Rambam that talks about this, that on Yontif, it's a famous Rambam in Hilchos Yontif, where he talks about drinking on Yontif. And he says that if a person drinks too much and gets drunk, that's not really the idea of Yontif. It's just holy los v'sichlos. It's just nonsense. And the reason being that the purpose of the Yayin is to be Lifnei Hashem and to be happy, but it's not to get drunk and be totally out of reality and out of this world. So it's the same thing over here by the ego. They utilize Chag in the wrong way, in the way that's usher to utilize Chag, and they created it and they initiated it. Whereas by Rosh Chodesh, the idea is that Klal Yisrael is supposed to be initiating the true Chag, the true idea of Chag, and therefore they lost out on it, and the women must have recognized that idea. And the fact that they were willing to give up their jewelry by the Mishkan and not give up their jewelry here shows you that it wasn't simply because they loved their jewelry, but they sensed that there was something off here and they recognized that their motivations were off and wrong. Okay, if we look in the Torah, I don't know if the Torah is saying the exact same thing, but he gives a reason, and we'll just look inside. Look at number 13. The Torah, it's Or HaChaim Siman Tuf Yud Zayin. Vishamati mi'achi harabini Yehuda, tam ledavar. He says that there's a reason that his brother, Rabbeinu Yehuda, gives for the connection between Rosh Chodesh and the women not working on Rosh Chodesh. Lefi shehamo'adim niskenu keneged avos. That the mo'adim, they're established towards, or keneged avos. Their ideas about the avos. Pesach keneged Avraham. Pesach is an idea or a holiday that should be focused on some concept that Avraham brings out. Dichsev, Lushi v'asi ugos, u'pesach haya, by the Malachim, when they visited Avraham It says that it was Pesach, the Medrash. Shavuos keneged Yitzchak, shetkiya shofar shalmatan Torah, haya b'shofar me'elo shel Yitzchak, mayalo shel Yitzchak, sorry. And Shavuos is keneged Yitzchak because the shofar of Matan Torah is keneged Yitzchak. Sukkos keneged Yaakov, dechsev ulemekneu asa Sukkos. And Sukkos is keneged Yaakov because Yaakov created Sukkos. V'yudbeis roshei chadshei hashana, shegam heim nekraim mo'adim keneged yudbeis shvatim. The 12 roshei chadashim of the year, they're also called Moed. They're supposed to be a holiday. And they're keneged the 12 shvatim. Ukshachatu be'egel nitlu mehem. When they were chotim by the egel, it was taken away from them, Rosh Chodesh, and it was given to their wives. So I think the Torah is saying that, see, the big holidays, Pesach, Sukkos, and Shavuos, they're keneged the avos, and they cannot be changed, they cannot be taken away, or because those are universal ideas, and Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, whatever ideas that they bring to light, the Moed is supposed to focus on those concepts. But by Rosh Chodesh had the potential to be a Yom Moed for all of Klal Yisrael. And they could have utilized Rosh Chodesh and created it and identified it as a Chag on their own. But because they misused the concept of a holiday, of a Chag, of a Moed, that's why they lost it. But the women, on the other hand, they did not misuse it. They understood the real concept of Chag and the true concept of Chag in the Torah. And that's why they were rewarded with Rosh Chodesh and making it a day of not working. So I think that's what, at least to try to give an insight into what the Torah is saying. There are other reasons given by other Achronim. I was looking into the Prisha, and I showed you the Das Zakenim. There's many different reasons, but it's a very difficult area, and I think to me it seems like the Torah is saying something similar to what I was saying, and also from the Psukim itself, it seems like that's the connection between Rosh Chodesh and women not working. So if we look in the number 14 in the Aruch HaShulchan, just a little bit of practical halacha. It says, Rosh Chodesh mutter b'malacha. Rosh Chodesh is mutter in malacha. V'hanoshem shenoago shelo la'asos malacha b'Rosh Chodesh. Isa b'Yerushalmi parak alf t'tainis ube perkei d'Rav Elazar parak mem dalet. So you see that the women not doing, the minog not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh is in the Yerushalmi, it's in Tainis, in the Gemara Tainis, and Perkei d'Rav Elazar. Shehu minog tov. It's a good minog. Lefish lo ratzu litein nizmein lebalein al asiyas eigel. It gives the same reason that Rashi and Tosfos. It seems like that's the ikker, the essential reason. And the reason is that they didn't give up their jewelry by the eigel. Lefichach ninu lehem tosefes yontif b'Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, they were given extra yontif, extra holiday on Rosh Chodesh. V'im yesh minog lasos miktsas molochos u'miktsas shelo lasos holchen achar haminog. If there's a custom that women do some molochos and not do other molochos, then you can follow the minog. V'dafka kishiyadua shemichvar haminog kein. That's only if you know for a fact that the original minog in that place was that some women do molocha and certain molochos and others they don't do. Aval bistama asuros hanashim b'chol molochos. If in stam, a woman's not allowed to do molocha. V'hine, but this is interesting in the Aruch HaShulchan. V'hine it's lenu. He says, by us, neshe bale batim in osos molocha. That the women who stay at home, who are the homemakers, they do not do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. V'nashim ha'oskos be'umnos, but women who are involved in a trade, in work, osos malacha. They do the work. V'tzarech lomar, delo kabilu alayhu lahafsid parnasasan. And you have to say that the reason for this is that there was no acceptance on the part of, I guess, the women and Klal Yisrael to lose out on your parnasa as a result of this minog, which is very interesting. But the Aruch HaShulchan, just to summarize the Aruch HaShulchan, he's saying that really there's a minog for women not to work on Rosh Chodesh. And he says that it depends on the place. In some places, women don't do certain malachos and don't do certain work. In other places, they do. But he says in his time that there was a minhag that the women who stayed at home, I guess they were homemakers and they were keeping up with the home and they were making sure that it was clean and doing all the clothing and the cooking and taking care of everything in the house. So those women, they get a day off on Rosh Chodesh. Whereas the other women who worked, I guess they had jobs and they went out to work because they needed to make a living, those women, they don't have to give up on their jobs on Rosh Chodesh in order to be in line with this minhag because there's a loss of money involved, and they didn't accept upon themselves to lose money for this minog. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. And if you want to look into this area further, there's a Bir Halacha and a Mishnah Berurah on some say that, you know, women can do work at at nights, but not during the day. There's also a question of if it's a two-day yontif, is it that women shouldn't do malacha on both days or just one day, the second day? And so there's all these machloksim about it, and I didn't want to really get involved in the practical halacha, more just the philosophy behind what the connection is between women and the egel and their jewelry, and also the idea of not working on Rosh Chodesh. So let me just summarize. I'm going to go back on the shiur for the last time. So we started with an essential question of the shiur, which is, what is the philosophical concept behind women not working on Rosh Chodesh? And we had contradictory Gemaras. On the one hand, the Gemara in Erechin, and also Rashi quotes a Gemara in Chagiga, say that it's completely ertosos, that it's completely mutter to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. And on the other hand, in Megillah, it sounds like there is a problem. Also in Rosh Hashanah, it sounds like there's a problem with doing work. And the question is, who is that referring to? Rashi says it's referring to women, because women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, and he brings down, based on a medrash, that the reason for this is that it's a gift, it's a reward, for them not giving up their jewelry by the egel. And the question is, what's the connection, what's the relationship between them not giving up their jewelry and the reward of Rosh Chodesh? And we looked into the area of them not giving up their jewelry, and we had a question on Rashi, and the question was that Rashi seems to indicate that the reason why they didn't give up their jewelry was simply because they love their jewelry. And if that's the case, what's so great about what they did? And furthermore, still the same question, what's the relationship between what they did and Rosh Chodesh, and not working on Rosh Chodesh? So we looked at the concept of the flaw of the ego by the Chag, that Aaron created a Chag, and they utilized the idea of Chag, the idea of a holiday, in the wrong way, in the opposite, and they channeled their instincts into the Chag, and it was a day of just relaxing and doing whatever they wanted. Whereas the idea of Rosh Chodesh is the opposite, that Klal Yisrael are involved in creating Chag, but not that type of Chag. They create the true Chag, a Chag that's dedicated to a person learning and focusing their souls on Yiras Hashem and all those ideas. So, and we said that by the women, the reason why we see, or the proof that the idea that Rashi's saying was Aaron's thought process, but it didn't really happen that way, is the fact that they were willing to give up their jewelry by the Mishkan. The fact that they were willing to give it up shows you that they were capable of giving up their jewelry. They didn't have an unnatural attachment to their jewelry. So it must be that they recognized something was missing here. Something was inappropriate. And this is the idea, it seems like, that they recognized, or they saw, that the Chag was being utilized in the wrong manner. And we looked at the tour and the chinuch in terms of connecting all the philosophy. And finally, the Aruch HaShulchan mentions halachically that, at least in his time, that women who were at home, they didn't do work, but women who worked and had jobs and needed the money, they could work on Rosh Chodesh. And it seems like there was no Kabbalah, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, on that aspect of work, on losing out money. So that's the shiur for tonight. Anybody have any questions? Any more questions?